Chapter 25.
Every instinct in Iden was screaming at her to defend Sen, her crew member, her teammate, her friend. They were 4 against 6, and Pia Kao wasn't a strong fighter. They could take the partisans and save Sen. Perhaps when the Dreamers were dead, Infernal Squad would recover the data they had been sent to find somewhere among their belongings. Perhaps. But they would fail in every aspect of their mission. Iden knew her father, and unlike the situation back on Telic 4, he would not be predisposed to giving them yet another chance. This was it. Everything they'd been working toward had led to this moment. Sen had put the mission in danger. She had messed up, had let herself be discovered. And if anyone other than the Mentor was going to question her, Iden knew that question would simply be a nicer word for torture. Sen would break under that. Anyone would. Iden, along with the others, had just witnessed a man twice her age who had been an experienced Imperial agent break under the Dreamer's questioning. Sen, so new to all this, newer than Iden had fully comprehended, would hold out as long as she could. But they would break her and learn everything. And then they would kill the rest of Inferno Squad. No. Iden couldn't let that happen to her team. Not Del or Hask. Or Sen. All this flitted through Iden's head in less than a second. Staven turned to Iden and threw the blade in her direction. Her attention snapped back into real time and she caught the sizzling blade by its hilt.
"I say we kill two birds with one stone," Staven said. "You've been under a cloud since you got here, Versio. Let's clear the air a bit. We'll watch you question the girl. Shouldn't be too hard. We've already shown you how it's done."
All the attention was on Iden now. She realized that the vibroblade she held was the only weapon that any Inferno Squad member held at the moment. Not that they weren't quite capable of dispatching others with their bare hands. It was part of their training. But the rest of the Dreamers had drawn their own weapons. Iden and her team might be able to take down only a couple of them before the Dreamers killed them. But take them down they would. She tightened her grip on the weapon and looked directly at Sen. "See it in my eyes," she pleaded silently. Then looked away from the girl to glance at the partisans and her team. They nodded, ever so slightly. Sen was a member of Inferno Squad. She was one of them, and they were in. If they all attacked at the same moment, they stood a better chance. Iden squared her shoulders and prepared to turn back to face Sen. But even as she started to move, there was a flurry of movement and a horrible wailing sound of fury. The Dreamers had beaten them to it. "No!" Iden whirled, stabbing forward with the glowing blue blade, impaling Sen. Her dark eyes were wide, and her mouth was open in a soundless O. For a moment that stretched like an eternity, the two women stared at each other. Sen's mouth moved, murmuring a single, soundless word.
"Yes."
Then raggedly, she said in a defiant but rapidly weakening voice,
"For the Empire."
To Iden's horror, Sen pulled the blade deeper. She gasped. Then slowly, all tension leaving her slim body, she crumpled to the ground. "Sen." The blade was released from her flesh with a wet sound. Suddenly, furious at what or whom she didn't know, Iden shouted,
"Lying traitor!"
She dragged her gaze away from the appalling sight of Sen's body and found herself staring directly at Staven. "I'm sorry," she told him. "I didn't expect a rush like that." The words came easily, swiftly to her lips, and some part of her marveled at that. His eyes searched hers, and he pressed his lips together, creating a hard, thin line. His hands clenched and unclenched as if he wanted to seize and shake her, but knew better. "Give the blade to Halia and come with me," he said, turning on his heel and striding out into the darkness. Iden obeyed, returning the weapon to its owner. Halia's face was cold and hard as stone.
Iden felt all their eyes boring into her. Staven, the mentor called after them. Staven stopped and regarded the older man. He lifted his hand, fingers raised in warning.
My people, my decisions.
There was nothing the mentor could do. The dreamers called Staven their leader. Iden had no doubt that the mysterious diplomat could still fight very well indeed. He was lean and fit, the only hint of age showing in the gray at his temples and the laugh lines on his face. But Staven was right. The mentor looked at Iden and tried to give her a reassuring smile. He didn't succeed. There was nothing her people could do either. Iden turned and followed Staven. He said nothing as they walked. Iden wished he would speak. Without distraction, she could feel the emotions threatening to close in on her. She could still see Sen's upturned face, the awful wound in her flesh. Iden thought she had made the decision for the team. Sen had other plans. When they were so far away that the cavern opening was but a small orange smudge, Staven halted and turned to her. They were a meter apart. Staven's blaster had been in a holster at his hip. Now it was in his hand. Iden wondered if it was set to stun. She didn't think so. Convince me. What? He shrugged. Convince me why I shouldn't just kill you where you stand. I've been a partisan for years, but suddenly I have not one but two Imperial agents in my group. Oh, excuse me, two Imperial agents and one supposed Imperial defector. Seems a bit of a stretch of the imagination to think they're not all connected, don't you think?
Iden was silent.
So, he shrugged, as if they were having a normal conversation. Go ahead. Here's your chance. Convince me.
Iden was suddenly, utterly, and completely drained. She was tired. So tired. Tired of pretending, tired of probing, tired of being sidelined and suspected, tired of constantly striving and never reaching. Why would I team up with them? Sen had everyone fooled, and Azen, he abducted me, put cuffs on me, and searched me when I was unconscious.
The best lies have a grain of truth in them.
Or so the two of you claimed, Staven said. I have no idea how real any of that was. Think about the lengths the Empire went to get Sen here. Giving her injuries, putting her in a locked cuff, that's a lot of prep. All you needed to do was lie a little. And I know, and you know, Imperials are very good at that. I don't for a moment believe your story about Alderaan suddenly thawing your icy cold Imperial heart. Kayeve once told me he did. But look where it got him. I had nothing to do with Kayeve and Nadrine's deaths. Suddenly, for some stupid reason, it was terribly important that she made Staven believe the one thing that was real. Then she said, quietly, there's nothing I can say that would make you believe me. As she spoke the words, she realized that they were the unvarnished truth.
Sen, I'm so sorry. You died to keep the mission alive, and I can't even think of anything to tell him, she thought.
Convince me!
He screamed those last two words, his voice raw and harsh. The hand that held the blaster trembled. She could take it and fail again, as she had been failing.
We're Versios, she thought. Versios don't fail.
She suddenly felt a great pain in her chest, as though she had been kicked by one of the great hooved beasts that migrated following the Geosan dusk. She gasped.
My father, she said thickly.
She was trembling as if she stood in a strong wind. And instead of snatching the weapon from Staven, she wrapped her arms around herself, like her mother had held her when she was a child. Her mother now thought she was a failure, too. Iden moaned softly.
What about him? What about your father, Iden?
He laid no hand on her, but he battered her with his words. An image of her father rose in her mind. So stingy with anything resembling kindness or approval. Always pushing her to succeed, to excel, to be the best of the best. And she was. She was the best of the best. And that would still never be enough for him. Nothing would be enough for Garrick Versio. The best lies have a grain of truth in them. Iden dropped to her knees, the hard rock bruising them, her whole body sagging.
I hate him,
she whispered. Silence, long and frightening and infused with portent, hung between the two. The daughter of the Admiral. The leader of the rebels.
I hate him,
she said again, and then again. She lifted her face up toward Staven, who stood over her with the blaster muzzle pointed at her head.
You don't know what it was like. You can't. Nothing was good enough. Nothing.
And I wanted to hurt him. So I did. You didn't just betray the Empire or the Emperor. You betrayed your father. You betrayed me.
I spoke against his beloved Empire.
I sympathize with the rebels. I brought disgrace on the family name he was so damn proud of. And I joined the partisans. The bloodiest, cruelest, most hate-filled of all the rebels. Her vision swam with tears, but she blinked them back. She was a Versio, and Versios didn't cry. You're right, Staven. I don't care about your cause, but I care that he cares. And that's why I'm here. Staven stood as if rooted to the ground. His eyes were wide, his breathing rapid and shallow as he listened. Quick as a thought, Iden sprang to her feet. She seized the muzzle of the blaster and pulled it to press directly against her head. Her eyes blazed as she stared into Staven's. You want to kill me? Go ahead. But if you don't, you better never doubt me again. Are we clear? A slow smile curved his lips. He pulled back the blaster, held up his hands in a shrugging, whatever you say, gesture. We're clear, he said. He took a step back, regarding her with a peculiar expression on his face. Iden didn't dare let herself believe it. Why? Why now? The Mentor thinks that rebellions are built on hope. But I don't believe that. Rebellions are built on hate, Iden Versio. And now I know you've got plenty of that burning in your belly. Come on, let's get back to the others. Some of them might even be glad to see you're alive. Her team, what was left of her team, was. While she and Staven were gone, the remaining partisans had removed Sen's corpse. Iden didn't inquire. She would ask one of her team later. She forced herself to laugh and make jokes, to join in the anger and the unkind words they hurled at Sen, the traitor. Sen, who for all intents and purposes had murdered Sadori, a boy who had done nothing wrong except fall for the wrong girl. Through the horrific hours that stretched out until she and the others could reasonably depart to speak on their comlinks, one thing thudded through Iden's mind with every pump of her scorched heart. The thing she had feared and avoided at all costs, the thing that caused nightmares that woke her up, sweating and trembling, had happened. She had failed, and others had paid the price for that failure. Iden wanted to see her team, look into their eyes, read the messages of their bodies that their words weren't revealing. But she had to content herself with a comlink. What happened to Sen's body? Was the first thing she asked. We all went. Del took a deep breath. The usual place. The Coggies took it out in a speeder, a short distance away. Pia Cow, Dana and I followed. Iden felt her stomach knot as if twisted by an unseen hand. But she had to know. Was she buried?
No.
That was Gideon, his normal bright voice somber.
They dragged her out and just tossed.
That's enough, Hask, Iden snapped. Her voice was harsh, hard. We can't mourn her yet. We still have a mission to complete. Sen gave her life to make sure we could do that, to save us, and we... Iden grasped the comlink so hard her knuckles turned white. She took a deep breath. I failed her. I failed the team. Iden, don't blame... Del began, but she cut him off. I'm not blaming. I'm taking responsibility for my failure with her. And with you. We should have coordinated better. We should have watched out for one another. She was the rookie when it came to things like this, and we weren't there when she needed us. We were chasing down our own goals, focused on our own assignments when we should have closed ranks around her so that she didn't slip up. And I let it happen. The failure is mine. It was awful. And liberating. And cold. And cruel. She embraced it all. That won't happen again. We are a team, and we will act like a team, and we will find the source of the Partisans' information and start the inevitable final toppling of them as any kind of threat to the Empire. No more long games. We act, and we act decisively, quickly, and with complete coordination. The beginning of the end starts now.